Her very own pianist, Sharon, was so committed that she decided that the roads might be a little too treacherous to go back home. She's 40 miles north of here, and she stayed in a hotel here last night so she could be here this morning. And Cecil and Letha used some of their points to put her up in the hotel, so we thank you for that. She had several people surround her, so yes, that is commitment, and that's saying yes, you bet. In addition to that, Blake has not been back in our house for 24 hours, and look, we got him back in the booth serving. So that's commitment right there, baby. Welcome home, Blake. Okay, well, we do wrap up this portion of our campaign today with Commitment Sunday and with this series on authentic stewardship. This morning, we want to focus on praising God. And I think you can sense that theme throughout the service thus far. I think one of the greatest phenomena, if you will, I think in the journey of any believer, true follower of Jesus Christ, is that we can never run out of reasons to praise God. Ever. Never. When the Bible says, and we sang it earlier, and Cecil and we had God in our planning this week, when the Bible says, and what we sang earlier, that we find new mercies each day, it's also saying that we have new reasons to praise God. New reasons every single day to praise God. Someone once said, you feel sorry for the atheist and the agnostic because when they want to be thankful, they have no one to talk to. And we pray that changes and hearts are changed, and praise is so important and evidentiary of a faith in Jesus Christ. Today and every day should be about praising God. From His creation, to His crucifixion, to His resurrection, to His return, praise God. Praise God. What do we praise Him? What should we praise Him for? Praise Him for His love. Praise Him for His grace. Praise Him for His mercy. Praise Him for His holiness, although sometimes we don't want to do that. When do we praise Him? We praise Him in the morning. We praise Him during the day. We praise Him in the middle of the night. Where do we praise Him? We praise Him at church. We praise Him at work. We praise Him at home. We praise Him on vacations. We praise Him in storms. And how do we praise Him? We praise Him in song. We praise Him in prayer. We praise Him in giving. We praise Him in service. We praise Him in studying His Word. We praise Him. We praise Him. We praise Him. Amen. And today we're so especially thankful to praise Him for the willingness of this body to have the ears of Douglas County begin tingling. What a great way to say that. Not tickle, as it says in Timothy. We don't want to tickle ears, but we do want to make them tingle. We're so thankful to be part of this. I know Janessa and I have been blown away at what's gone on at Canyon since 2015, and we're just hanging on to God's coattails right now. And we're going to be looking at this idea of praising God in a popular passage, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. If you have your Bibles, you can have it open there. Most people, when they're in some kind of stewardship or giving series, they focus on the front end of this chapter. We're going to go a little deeper after the people have brought their gifts and to build the temple, and we're going to be in David's prayer and his praise beginning in verse 10. But to set the scene, remember, David is old. He's old. He's getting pretty weak, but he knows that God has charged him to prepare the way for the temple to be built. Obviously, Solomon will ultimately be in charge of having that temple built, but David calls on folks to bring their gifts to and resources to be able to build this temple. And so he asked them to do that, and there's a tremendous display of generosity from David, and then the leadership comes in with unbelievable gifts matching, and then the people come and just pour out gifts everywhere. And so David is standing in front of Israel, praising God and talking about this incredible act of generosity that they want to give glory to God. So let's begin in verse 10 of 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and just notice the words of praise and honor that are given to God. Beginning verse 10, "Therefore David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly, and David said, 'Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord,'" listen to these words, "'is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is made great. It is made great, and to give strength to all. And now, verse 13, we thank you, O God, our God, and praise your glorious name.'" You imagine that scene? David bellowing these words with every ounce of energy he has. We understand, and we want to understand this morning, that authentic stewardship, which is really what? Giving our time, talents, and treasures to God for the glory of God. We want to understand that that includes praising the provider. Got several notes in the on the bulletin outline, or several points in the bulletin outline that we're going to follow as we work our way through verses 14 through 20. So let's get into this a little bit and look at some elements, characteristics of praising God. Beginning verse 14, then David says this after he says, "We thank you." Draws a breath and says, "But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly?" Then he answers it, "For all things come from you, and your own we've given you." He answers his own question right there. So number one, from verse 14, we can see that praises of gratitude are inevitable when giving is a privilege. When you consider giving your time, your talents, your treasures as a privilege, hey man, praises flow from that attitude. You can't help it. You think about that in everyday life. When you consider something a privilege, how praises, how gratitude just flows from your heart. I think about many people who consider being a parent a privilege. Many people consider parenting a privilege. And for Janessa and I know that that's been the case. And because it's a privilege, we are oh so thankful for Blake and who he is and being his parent. I can remember the first night after he had been born and we're staying in the hospital and Blake's sleeping in whatever those little cube things are next to the bed. And I drift off and fall asleep and wake up at some point, and I look over, and Janessa's eyes, she's looking straight at me, eyes wide open, and she's got the biggest smile on her face I've ever seen. There was just joy and gratitude and unbelievable, overwhelming sense of thanksgiving for this healthy baby boy that was laying in the cubicle thing next to us. And what a great picture of that idea of it being a privilege to be a parent and the thanksgiving that flows from that. Many would consider marriage a privilege, I hope. Who's laughing out there? But you would consider marriage a privilege. You're so grateful for your spouse. You're so grateful. And a lot of times we take that for granted, but then there's certain things that come up in life that wake us up or snap us out of it, and we're so grateful for our spouse and what a privilege it is. And from that idea of being a privilege, we're so thankful for our spouse. And last week we celebrated Veterans Day, and many would consider it a privilege to serve in our armed forces. Many do consider it a tremendous privilege, and from that privilege, they're thankful. Bill Brunger, Battle of the Bulge, Looks like the Lord might be calling him home soon, but so thankful that he was able to serve. Harry Ball, same way. Keep those families in your prayers. But they are so thankful that they were able to serve this country. It was a privilege for them to do that. Now, I said many, because not all, obviously, and not all parents consider it a privilege to be the mother or father of a son or daughter. Many do not consider it a privilege to be married. They're miserable. They're bitter. They fight all the time. It's not a privilege, it's an obligation. It's something I have to do. There's no thanksgiving in that. And there are some who don't consider it a privilege to serve in the armed forces. And for those who don't consider those types of things a privilege, there really isn't a sense of gratitude. There's no sense of gratitude in that. But for those who consider it a privilege, there's an overwhelming sense of thankfulness, a gratitude to give and to share and to sacrifice, and that's exactly what we see in our story here today. We see Israel coming together, and what are they? What are they considering it a privilege? They're God's people, and that is just ringing true in their brains. And they're seeing that. What a privilege it is. We're God's chosen people. You have given us everything. We're just giving you back a piece. Such an awesome privilege. They see that. You can see it in their generosity from David all the way down. Such an awesome privilege. We want to express our gratitude by generously giving to the building of God's temple. That's what the people were saying. Say goodbye to that tabernacle. We're not going to set that thing up anymore. We're going to build a temple. God's going to be here. God owns it. We're his people. And that's why throughout this campaign, yes, there's been ups and downs and people questioning, well, I don't know if I can help and I don't know how much I can help. And listen, it's your heart. That's all God wants. Remember the widow and the mite? I mean, she gave maybe the least of anybody financially, but Jesus said she gave the most. She gave the most. It was her heart. Praises of gratitude are inevitable when you consider giving your time, your talents, and your treasures to glorify God. Keep going in verse 15. For we are strangers before you, David keeps going, and sojourners, as all our fathers were. I mean, they wandered around, they wandered, they wandered, they wandered. Our days on the earth are like a shadow. Isn't that the truth? And there is no abiding. Your translation might say there's no hope. That's a realization. No hope in this world. This world can't offer us lasting hope. Verse 16, O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand. And it's all your own. Once again, David saying, it's all yours anyway. It's all yours. This leads me to number two, praises of gratitude ignite flames of hope. Absolutely ignite flames of hope. Part of the reason that I praise God, and I can praise God, for the opportunity to give my talent and my time and my treasures to ministry is... call it selfish, but I want to see God's hand at work. And I do. And let me tell you something. It's incredible. And I know people that are sitting here today, they know that God is working mightily through their lives or through this church or through their family or in some way, and they're just stepping back and they're going, wow, God is at work. Yes. They absolutely. And when that happens, hope just comes alive. Because this world has so many hope kills, doesn't it? I mean, after all, isn't that what Satan's job is? He ain't in hell. He's in the world. And he's going around destroying every flicker of hope he can get his hands on. So thankful. We are so thankful this earth is not our home. Because if we had to accept the hope that it offered, we're doomed. And at the same time, I'm so thankful while we're here, while we're in a broken world, that God has provided for us in such amazing ways. Amazing ways. And as he's provided for us, as we turn around and use those things for his glory, we absolutely swim and even drown in his hope. It just comes alive. It ignites the flames of hope. Verse 17, David continues, I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and what? Joyously to you. Isn't that a beautiful picture? So number three, pure motives unleash hearts of praise. That's what David's saying. God takes pleasure in those with an upright heart, in those people that that have come forward and with a joyful heart say, here, I'm willing to give my time here. Hey, I'm willing to give my talents, my gifts, and use them here. Hey, I'm willing to give my resources here joyfully. I have no reluctancy. I have no stinginess about me. I'm doing it with an open heart. Proverbs 16:2 says, all a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. He sees our hearts, and he knows. He knows. You know, some of the most miserable Christians I've come in contact with are ones, and I can be guilty at times too, but ones who serve with ulterior motives. You know, they serve in ministry or they give in ministry, they give their time, and they do it with ulterior motives. Maybe they do it out of a sense of pride or sometimes even anger, a sense of entitlement or desire for approval or status or recognition. Ulterior motives to serving and giving to God. But when the motive for serving and giving is pure, when you have a clear conscience with joy and you hand whatever it is over to him, hearts of praise are unleashed. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says this, our purpose is what? To please God, bring God glory. That's our purpose, not people. He alone, here we go, examines the motives of our heart. I see so many pure hearts here serving, and I see their hearts unleashing praise. Well, how do I know? How do I know if I'm serving with ulterior motives? Well, here's three questions you can ask yourself. You kind of overlap, too. You'll see a theme. Ask yourself, if no one ever knows what I'm doing, would I still do it? Would I still give the way I... Would I still serve? Would I still work here or do this? Second, if there was no visible payoff for doing this, would I still do it? God better reward me with possessions if I do this, okay? Dangerous path. Or ask this one, am I doing this for the praise of others or how it makes me feel? That's where ministry can get dirty sometimes, right? We start serving as long as we're getting kudos or recognized, and when that dries up, we feel like, I don't want to do that anymore. You see, the only way we can operate with pure motives is when we walk in the Spirit, really. I mean, that's what it comes down to. You walk in the Spirit. You're bearing fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all those things. You're walking in the Spirit. Because when we allow Him to control every part of us, then our desire is to please Him and not ourselves. Pure motives unleash hearts of praise. Verse 18 and 19. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers. Notice how David draws on history. Keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts toward you. Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart that he may keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, performing all, and that he may build the palace for which I have made provision. So number four, consistently praising God promotes a willing, key word, willing obedience. David is pleading with the people to continually praise God for the opportunities as his chosen people to give and to be used. And that was going on in an unbelievable way that day. Be used by him because what? It directs their hearts toward God. How many would agree that obedience can be a forced thing? Obedience can be forced, it can be obligated, it can be done with a lot of bitterness. I think I've told this story before, but not the proudest moment of my life. I can remember my mom, when I was a child, I took care of chickens. We had some chickens, they were my responsibility. The coop was away from the house. Texas summer's pretty hot. Always got to check the water for the chickens. I hadn't done that in a while. And my mom said, have you checked the chickens' water? Go check that. I said, yeah, I'll get to it. And I sat around. She asked me again. I said, I'll get to it. Well, she didn't ask again. But then I heard something like, wait till your father gets home. And so I was angry then, and I, on my way to the chicken coop, I stomped on all of her rose bushes. Yeah. I was obeying. I was going to water the chickens. But not a good idea. I didn't see much reward from that. Dad did get home, and it wasn't pretty. Oh, man. Now, obedience can be forced, it can be obligated, but one of the best ways obedience can be rewarded is when it's done with a willing heart. And you want to do it, you can't wait to do it, because you love who you're doing it for. You respect, you honor, you want to do that for them. One of the best ways, we talked about it earlier, one of the best ways to praise God consistently is in your prayer life. It's in your prayer life. And some of you might be sitting here this morning, you know, I don't know really the last time I praised God. Well, I sung at church last week, so I was praising him then. Prayer life, prayer life, prayer life. My personal prayer life has changed dramatically in the last year to 18 months. I mean, dramatically. It's been gradual, but the results have been incredible. I'm ashamed to say where my prayer life was 2 years ago. Ashamed. Flat out ashamed in how much I prayed and how I prayed. It was lacking, and then when I did pray, it sounded like a laundry list. Dear God, fix this person's heart, they're bugging me. Heal this person. Make this person well. Make these people travel safely. Here's my laundry list, Lord. But I will tell you that when I get up in the morning now and I pray, it is the most powerful time of the day. Most powerful. And I don't have a set time and place where that happened. It happened gradually because my prayers, and this is Spirit-led, my prayers went from this laundry list to start praising God, start thanking God, and my prayers are consumed with thanking God because I have so many reasons to thank Him, to praise Him. I'm blown away. When I start my prayers, I'm just in awe because I feel so depraved and I feel so unworthy.
And I just thank God for his holiness, his grace, his mercy, his love that just keeps pouring out. And I see it. And I found myself praying solid, those kinds of things. And then I got to the end of my prayer and I'm like, whoa, I didn't even get to this list of four things that I needed to pray about. And that's okay, because God knows our heart. And the Spirit intercedes for us. He teaches us how to pray. He prays for us. Praise God for that. But the funny thing is, I started to see prayers being answered that were on my wish list that I never even mentioned because I was so consumed with thanking God for his goodness and his holiness and his grace and his mercy and just being here and drawing my next breath. And then I was like, holy cow, I wanted to pray for that. Maybe I said a shot an arrow prayer for that, but look, he's answering. Look at this. And now my prayers are consumed with thanking him for things that I know he's already answered. So answered prayers. I'm thanking, that's what my prayers are consumed. Thank you, God. I wanted that to happen. Maybe I didn't even mention it, but look what you're doing there. Praising him. And I don't say this by any stretch of the imagination to sound boastful. I'm telling you, prayer is huge. It is huge. And when you consume it with an attitude of gratitude and you just continue to thank him for everything of who he is and what he's done, it will change your prayer life. What is the result of praise-filled prayers? It's a genuine desire to willingly be obedient to him. And that's what happens. And finally, this verse 20. And David's wrapping it up. And David said to all the assembly, bless the Lord your God. Look at this. And all the assembly, bless the Lord. You imagine the cries that went out. All the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed their heads and paid homage to the Lord and to their king. Picture that. So number five, praising God generates healthy humility. What do I mean by healthy humility? Because a lot of times, and this is true, circumstances that we might consider discipline or punishment or suffering in our lives, and we believe that's the only way that humility can come. And it does come that way, trust me. God ripped the carpet out from underneath my feet more than once, and humility came, but it was at a cost, and a lot of it was what I consider discipline to me, get Dave back on track. But humility can come with hearts of praise. Isn't that what happens when you start to be thankful for something? Don't you become smaller? And whatever you're being thankful for becomes bigger? You see, when we praise God with hearts of gratitude, we stop seeing God so small. We stop seeing him this size in our life, and we start to see him this size. You remember John the Baptist? Got the job of announcing the Savior. Savior's coming. He's coming. John the Baptist was so popular and people were coming to him and to be baptized by the hundreds. He's got his own disciples. And yet John turns around and says what? He must increase. I must decrease. Out of hearts of thanksgiving, humility, healthy humility, can come. Oh, the power of praising God. What a great way to end this portion of our Legacy of Stewardship campaign. Go into Thanksgiving week with praise on our lips. We've got a verse on the screen that I want us to all say together. This is Psalm 145:3. I know we've done a lot of unison, but that's about praising God. We praise God from our lips, don't we? A lot of times. So let's say this together. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Amen. What a great verse. As we close out our service here this morning,
You've noticed the chests that are by each door, and those are for our first fruit envelopes and our commitment cards with the privacy envelope that you can put in there. You probably noticed there's some in the chair back. If you forgot them, a shame on you. We'll charge you interest. Bring them. No, I'm kidding. that was rude, David. Those chests are there for a reason, and they're to remind us of another biblical story that most of you know. Remember King Joash? He became king 7 or 8 years old. But Joash was a good king, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And one of the things Joash did was to clean up Israel and to wipe out the idols that were present and the idolatry that was going on. But then it came to his attention that this wonderful temple that was built in the story that we just read was in ruin and shambles and looking pretty dilapidated. And so Joash says, we're going to restore that. We're going to restore it for a spiritual sense, but a physical sense as well. And so he called on the people. He called on the people. We want to restore God's house. Come and bring your gifts. There will be chests at the city gate. Pour your gifts into them. The Bible says it overflowed with their gifts. So we have a couple of chests there that are reserved for your commitment cards and your first fruit envelopes that you brought your first fruit. I praise God. I'm so thankful. I love you guys. You're an awesome flock to be around, to be with, to shoulder, to work shoulder to shoulder together, to serve shoulder to shoulder together. It's truly a great day, and I'm humbled to be a part of it. If you're visiting with Canyons today, or you haven't been coming that long to this fellowship, I don't feel obligated to participate in this part of it at all. We understand that. You're still getting to know us, and we understand that. But after we pray, we'll sing, and then we'll close out with a benediction, and just on your way out, you can hand off your cards and envelopes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much just for the opportunity to praise your name, to praise your holiness, to praise you of being the God of hope in our lives. Father, forgive us for not recognizing you or making you small in our lives. We want to praise you for who you are. Sharon said, the creator of all things. You created us with a purpose. And Father, we're trying to carry that purpose out. And we praise you for the opportunity of doing that. We lift all these things to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.